So as we get ready for 2024, so many of you might have some kind of celebration in mind today, or maybe some family over, or some friends, and some food and festivities. Maybe you'll watch the ball drop, maybe you'll make it to midnight, maybe you won't. But one of the things we do today, on New Year's Eve, is we reminisce. We think about 2023. Matter of fact, we can think of 2023, 2022, 2021, 2020. It's been some difficult times in the last 3 or 4 years, hasn't it? Not just for us individually, but for this country and for this world. So today we're going to be looking at the Book of Lamentations. And even I was surprised when God led me there, because on New Year's Eve, the Book of Lamentations is about, whoa, look at what has happened, and look at all the things that are going on, and the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, and Babylon is coming in, and all the people are crying out to the Lord. But in the midst of all that, there's like 5 different chapters, and all of it is this woe is me stuff going on. But in the middle of that, all of a sudden it breaks out into this glorious praise of hope. And I think that's why we were led there today. But before we get to that, I want us to kind of think back a little bit. I want us to think about what we've learned, because we've learned some really valuable lessons over the last year. Here in our church, we learned this concept, and I just can't stress it enough, this concept of letting God speak to us. Letting God speak to us in Scripture. And like as we read a Scripture, and we've had even a class to show how to do this, as we read the Gospel of John, and we say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What words are popping out to you? What is happening as you read them? What is God highlighting? In any verses, anywhere in the Scripture, what is God popping out at you? And then we learn, like, when we see that highlight in our minds, in the beginning was the Word. Maybe it's the word beginning is popping out. Maybe it's Word is popping out. Through him all things were made. Maybe it might be popping up. Whatever word, whatever, if we're listening to the lyrics and songs, whatever's popping out, what is God saying to us? And then to simply ask a question of, well, what's going on with that? Why is the word beginning striking me today? And it's really fitting for today, because beginning, this is a new beginning, a new year, isn't it? So God is always speaking. He's speaking in volumes. What we've learned is that if we pay attention, if we see what he is highlighting in a verse, what he is highlighting in a Scripture, we can learn what he's trying to tell us. We can see the signs. We can interpret the signs. That is a powerful thing. We've learned that. We can take Scripture and we can unveil it personally. That the Holy Spirit wrote it, and the Holy Spirit is revealing to us personally. We also went through the entire Sermon on the Mount. We took almost 6 months to get through all of it. But we looked at it from a different perspective this year. We looked at it from the mind of Jesus. What is Jesus thinking as he says these words to these people, as he's sitting on that hillside, on that mountain? What is he trying to convey? And we were given brand new insights and brand new revelations about things in the Sermon on the Mount that we never saw before. And so anytime that we're into Scripture, anytime we're into praise, anytime we're into prayer, we also learn that we are walking into another dimension, that we are communing, and saying the thing with communion, we are communing with God. We are engaging with God, and you can't be the same when you engage with God. So today, as we look at 2023 and all the things that, and I guess you could go in your own life right now, and you could do a little flashback, right? You can think of all the events of this year. You can think of all the trials and tribulations you've been through. You can think of all the insights that you've gained. You can think of all the new wisdom. They say that as we get older, we get wiser, right? You can think of all the wisdom that you've gleaned this year. So this day is a day to celebrate all that God has done in 2023, personally and globally. What about 2024? As you think about 2024, what's it going to be like? I know, so for Debbie and Mike, it's going to be a brand new beginning as they get married. Lots of excitement, lots of plans, and I know Debbie, she's making all the plans and all the stuff going on. And I know for Judy, Judy's back on the road again, and she's really happy about that. And she wants to talk to different people on the road. She's even talking to me about getting these 10 books in the 10-book series so that she can be more equipped, more equipped. And Mary was talking to me about just having some more intimacy, just some more quiet time, some more one-on-one. And for Michael, I'm just seeing that healing, a restoration. We all need a little healing and a little restoration. We need a constant healing, a constant restoration. So the people of Jerusalem have been going through a hard time right before the Book of Lamentations. They watched everything. I mean, they were the top of their game. They were the number one people out there. They were stronger. They were more powerful. They had everything going on. And they got a little big for their britches, too. But they also kept doing the same thing. They kept forgetting about God. They started thinking it was all about them, that they were the ones that accomplished everything. They would have idols, and they would be corrupted by other gods, and they would let themselves get deluded and weaker without even knowing it. And then finally, Babylon comes in and just kind of takes siege of the whole city. And now they're like, whoa, what happened? We were the powerful ones. And now we're begging for food. And so the Book of Lamentations is them looking back. What happened? So as we get ready for the Word. And the Word is so powerful. It's another thing that we've learned this year. And I've really been delving into that the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. That is literal. So when we read this, we are reading Jesus. Matter of fact, this entire book from cover to cover is all about Jesus, right? The Gospels are all about Jesus. Revelation is all about Jesus. The Old Testament is all about Jesus. But what if the Word, the actual Word, is Jesus? We even talked about this idea on Christmas that we can birth Jesus. That just like Mary, that we can birth Jesus. We talked about how the guys would kind of be shaking their head like, well, what are you talking about? But then we can spiritually birth him. And we can spiritually be him. We talk about Jesus plus me. Like, Tom can only get done so much, right? But Tom plus Jesus, look out. Jesus is here. He is alive. What we said about that crib is what do we need from that crib is life. And that Jesus is life. He is the light of life. As we look back at our partnership with Jesus this whole year. As we look forward to what we would do with Jesus. And as we look up, this is our disciple-making motto, is look back, look up, look forward. As we look up as we are one with Jesus. You see the theme? Jesus. It's always Jesus. So in the middle of this book, it's kind of like the Book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you've ever read the Book of Ecclesiastes. But the Book of Ecclesiastes is this real downer. It's just all this... life is futile and everything is useless and it's like chasing after the wind. And you go through this whole book until you get to the end and all of a sudden the author, this wisdom kicks in and he says, well, wait a minute. Everything's not useless when I plug God into the equation Everything has purpose. And that's what's happening in Lamentations as well. They're realizing that in the middle of all this trouble, in the middle of all this woe, there is still hope. There is still God. Turn with me as we bring up the verses. Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. We are not consumed. I highlighted not consumed. You ever feel like you're consumed? Like all the things going on. I see some heads shaking, yes. Or you could just go past and maybe it goes back into 22 or 2021 or 2020. Do you ever feel consumed with all the craziness that was going on and all the viruses and all the unrest and all the political? You ever just feel consumed by it all? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Say it with me. We are not consumed. Amen. There's a lot of things that can consume us. There's a lot of things that can distract us. There's a lot of things that can pull us down. That whole book of Lamentations, they're talking about all the woe, all the things that are pulling them down. But this is where that light is shining. Because out of all of that all that woe is me, they say, but we are not consumed. We are not taken down. There is still hope. So I can think of just different situations in my own life where it felt like, oh man, I don't know how I'm getting out of this one. And most of the time it's magnified in my own mind, mind you, like, oh, this whole situation is a lot worse and it's going to turn into this because I can come up with some scenarios, let me tell you. But God always brings me through, and we're standing here today because God has brought us through, right? So we know that we are not consumed because he has this great love for us and his compassions. It strikes me as plural. It doesn't say his compassion never fails. It says his compassions never fail. Because it's an unlimited amount of compassions he has for us. He knows every woe that we will ever face. He knows every hardship. He knows every trial before it even becomes. He knows that we're going to magnify the stuff in our minds even when it's already, you know, it's a molehill. We're making it into this mountain. And he has compassion on us. He's not judging us. He's not saying, oh, what is wrong with you, Tom? Don't you see that this is really not a big deal? He has compassion. And compassion means that he understands. He has empathy. He feels my pain. Regardless if my pain is real or not, or magnified or not, he feels my pain. I had one teacher who tried to describe the pain that God has with us. It's like if you multiplied whatever pain, whatever anguish you got going on, and you multiplied it by 1,000, you're only starting to get the idea. When we grieve, he grieves 1,000 times more with us. When we see somebody who doesn't know him and we're trying to pull him in, he's trying to pull him in 1,000 times more. His compassions never, never fail. We got the one with all the power on our side, continuing. They are new, I love this. They are new every morning, every day. It's a new start. We have a new year coming up. But every morning, every day we wake up, is a new beginning, a new start. His compassions are there for us. He's one with us. His power is with us. And great is your faithfulness. Not great is my faithfulness. We don't want to measure my faithfulness here. We want to know about his faithfulness. Jesus said, even if you deny me, I cannot deny you. God is faithful. And we know that. We know that intellectually, don't we? As we look back at our lives, I mean, the older we get, the more stories we have to tell, don't we? All the stories of trial and tribulation, of hardship. Yeah, I see hands. I mean, and we can relate, right? We've been there, done that. I try to tell my daughter, you know, you don't want to do that. I've done that. It doesn't work out well. But they do nonetheless, right? And there's nothing like the pain that you have of your child going the wrong direction. There's nothing like the pain when you can't control it. There's nothing like I know every parent would take that hardship themselves before they'd let their child go through it. But we have to sit there and watch them go through it because they gotta make their own choices, right? They gotta make their own way. All we can do is advise. But if God is connected with them, we have that newness every day, every morning. And we have that as well. And great is His faithfulness. Continuing. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I want to stop right there. The Lord is my portion. What does that mean? I often take scripture and it's just like this guessing game of, okay, well, what does that mean? What's going on with that? And as I ask that question, the Holy Spirit reveals what the Holy Spirit wrote. And for me, portion. He is my portion. He is my everything. He's everything I need. We talked about it in Christmas. What do I need? We said, what does the crib have for me? But then we changed it on Christmas Day. We said, what do we need from the crib? What does it have for me? What do I need from it? I need that portion is what I need. And we came up with that in a crib you have a baby. And then the baby is just brittling with life. And that crib is life. And Jesus has life for us. He is our portion. He has every moment. He has all the power. He has all the power. Jesus created all things, it says in Colossians, that He created all things, spiritual and physical, on earth and heaven, everywhere. And not only did He create all things, but all things find this purpose. That one blows my mind every time. That everything finds its purpose in Him. And He is my portion. Jesus is my portion. God is my portion. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Say it with me. The Lord is my portion. I don't need anything else. The Lord is my portion. I don't need that fancy new car. It'd be kind of nice to have it, but the Lord is my portion. I don't have to have that money to pay the rent because the Lord is my portion. I'll get the money because God doesn't want me to starve, but the Lord. As we go into 2024, we need to go in with the attitude. Attitude is so important. We've been talking about that all year. That He is my portion. He is all I need. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Wow, that's hard. I will wait. How many of us like to wait? Oh, I'm not seeing many hands. I will wait for Him. What has been laid on my heart? The reason we're here? The reason we're in the book of Lamentations is that word, wait. It's been a rough 3 years. It's been kind of crazy. It's been the craziest 3 years of my entire life. Things are upside down, inside out, totally chaotic. There is no real foundation anymore because it's all falling apart as far as even truth is up for grabs of like everyone's got, you got your truth, I got my, what? I'm sorry, but you take away truth, I got no foundation anymore. I don't know where to stand anymore. I'm in quicksand now. Jesus is not only my portion, He is my truth. I need a foundation. I will wait until God reveals 2024. I don't even know what 2024 has in store, but I believe that when I talked to this person that was at a assisted living place and for my sister, and I asked them what 2024, it was so much fun. Go around this year, this week, and just ask people what they think 2024 is going to have in store for them. It'd be amazing. It's really amazing what people bring back. So this one person across the desk said prosperity. Prosperity. She's working at a assisted living facility. You know how much money you make if you work at an assisted living facility? It's very little. And what does she tell me? She tells me 2024 has prosperity in store. Because I didn't have a conversation with her at that moment. I wish I would have. But I know that she was a believer. Because she couldn't come up with that answer with her circumstances without having some faith, some hope. Remember, we're in the book of Lamentations. Everything has fallen apart. And yet they're saying, look what they're saying. That the Lord is my portion and I will wait. Of course they're going to wait. They don't have a choice in the matter. Their whole city is under siege. Sometimes it feels like right now this world's under siege, doesn't it? It feels like our families are under siege. It feels like our moral compass is spinning out of control. It feels like emotions are deceiving. It feels like when we slow down, when we take in scripture, when we ask a few little questions, when we let the Holy Spirit reveal, when we meditate on the Word, when we meditate on the presence of the Lord, when we find that intimacy that Mary was talking about, we can wait. Not only can we wait, we want to wait. Because we know that something good is coming. Some kind of revelation is on its way. That we're ready. Ready. As we wait. Continuing. The Lord is good. Let's just say that one together. The Lord is good. To those whose hope is in Him. Ah, there's an if-then statement going on here. There's a condition in this, isn't there? The Lord is good. The Lord is always good. But He's especially good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him. And I always stand on it. If you seek me, you will find me. God's not playing hide and seek. He's not hard to find. He's right there. He's right here. He's right next to me. He's right in me. He's in me. How hard is He have to find if He's in me? I don't even have to go anywhere. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. And you can imagine these people in Jerusalem and these Israelites, man, hope. They don't have a lot of hope right now. Their whole city has gone under siege. They barely have a house to go in. They're scrounging for food. But yet they can come back in the middle. Read Lamentations. Read that whole book. It's hard to read. Especially when you understand what's going on in that time. And then all of a sudden this bright light comes out. These verses. These are the only verses in all Lamentations, by the way, that have this kind of hope. But boy, does it ever bring out a lot of hope. A lot of brightness in the middle of all this despair. And it's just about seeking. And isn't that how they got in trouble in the first place? They got in trouble because they weren't seeking. They weren't looking for God. They were looking to... Can you relate? Looking to other things to find their happiness. Looking for other ways. Looking for their plans, their way. They've gotten big, bad, and strong. And He's coming back to, all you have to do is seek me. Continuing, last verse. It is good to wait quietly. Quietly. I'm a big proponent about 5 minutes or more of prayer every morning. I'm a big proponent of some one-on-one time with God. I believe we should pray when we're driving our car or washing the dishes or mowing the lawn. I think we should pray without ceasing. But I think God deserves a little one-on-one time, don't you? So I think for 2024, if you're not already doing it, a good New Year's resolution would be to have 5 minutes or more of concentrated prayer with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit every day. Non-negotiable. And I mean, or more, it could be 15, it could be 20 minutes, it could be an hour, doesn't really matter. It's the consistency. It's that quiet, remember that word, quiet time. Some of these ideas that we've had from ages old, they're good ideas. It is good to wait quietly, meditatively. Read the word and meditate on it. Lift up your prayers. And I often tell people that have selfish prayers. I want you to pray about you. I want you to pray about what is God doing with you. How is he forming you? What is the issues going on with you? How can he help you unravel some of that? How can you be a little bit holier today than you were yesterday? How can you look at, and if you get real brave, how can you look at the stuff where you've done missteps and let him show you the missteps? I'll tell you, when you start going down that road, he will show you. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For the salvation of the Lord. Now, you can have your own personal salvation, and I think we better have that. We better have, and what does that mean? We have these words. What does that mean, salvation? It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Remember, this is the Old Testament. This is the book of Lamentations. This wasn't necessarily just about Jesus. This is about their whole city has gone to pot. This is about that they can't get enough food to eat today. This is about everything has gone to heck. This is about it's a mess. Does it ever feel like our lives are a little bit of a mess? It's kind of like currents, right? And waves. You go up into a high wave and then a low ebb and flow, and it doesn't stay like nice and constant, does it? Not for most people that I know, it doesn't for me. It's you get your high points, your low points, and sometimes a lot of low points, you know. And so the salvation. So yes, I think we could take that word to mean the salvation with Jesus, that we are one with Jesus, we have this relationship with God. Remember, that's got them in the trouble in the first place, that they didn't have that relationship. It means that relationship with God, that relationship with Jesus, that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It means that for sure. We need to wait quietly, meditatively, as God reveals. It's just that we work out our salvation every day with trembling, doesn't it? That we are working it out. That we're working out this relationship. But it also is that salvation of our circumstances. It's that salvation of our family. It's that salvation of that wayward child. It's that salvation of this global world that's going crazy. It's the salvation of everything. Everything. So as we go into 2024, I want us to pray about everything. I believe that God can and will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, so we should ask big. So I say, pray for it all. Pray your selfish prayers. Pray for the whole global prayers. Pray for that wayward child. Pray for that marriage that's coming up. Pray for everything and anything. And especially, pray about your relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and how you can help someone else have that relationship. Pray for salvation. Finally, 2024 is the year of waiting. Waiting. I want you to be in prayer this week about what you're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for. God does. Maybe it's to be made new. Maybe it's that intimacy. Maybe it's that prosperity. Maybe it's all the above. Maybe it's about witnessing more to more people. Maybe it's just about meditating on the Word, waiting. There is such a beauty in just waiting without anxiety. I'm going to say that. Waiting without anxiety, without this like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? That we trust and we wait. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your Word. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for your revelation of the Word. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for our ultimate salvation, our ultimate relationship with you. We thank you for that crib behind me, that you were incarnated so I could be brought back to my Father. Help us to wait on that answer. Help us to meditate on that answer. Help us to see your plan, Lord Jesus, your plan, dear Father God, your plan, dear Holy Spirit, three in one, that you're already taking care of me. Give me all the prosperity I need, all the intimacy I need. May I wait on you. May I hear from you. May I see you. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
When we close the worship with a song, we're responding to our Lord from what he revealed to us in the message. Let's stand and respond to our Lord. Take my life. Take my life.
Done list instead of a to-do list so I can keep track of everything that's happened, because I learned that I need to understand what has already happened so I can understand what will happen. But I think this is a good starting point. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. To yours. Do you see what I mean? The lyrics speak to us. Every time you hear a song, look at the lyrics. What is God saying? Every time you see a billboard, what's he saying? Every time you read a book, what's going on? Every time you even watch television or see a movie, there's themes everywhere, and God is speaking in volumes. And especially when you go into the Word, because the Word is alive. When you go into the Word, slow down. Read it. Take it in. Wait on it. Let us pray. Dear Father God, as we go into 2024, may it be the year of the Lord. May it be the year of the Lord in me. May it be the year of the Lord in my neighbor. May it be the year of the Lord in this nation. May it be the year of the Lord in this world. May it be the year of the Lord in this universe. May it be the year of the Lord in all spiritual and all physical everything. May 2024 be your year, Lord Jesus. We celebrate this year in advance and all you have done in advance as we stand in faith with you. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Send me a text. Let me know what your 2024 resolution, what your 2024 will, what your 2024 idea, what your 2024 waiting will look like. Send me a text. Have an amazing New Year's and have an amazing year. God bless everyone.